Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So normally on a football Friday, we have our ready to go song and we get jacked up, right? And I'm like, it's a Wednesday, but it's kind of like a Friday today before a game, last show before a game. So I said to Joe, hit me up some Iron Maiden, pal. Here we go. This is the Trooper, right? Right? So we got Iron Maiden in the background. There we go. All right. Thank you. So he did that. I got my Iron Mafia shirt on here. So, I mean, I'm rocking Eddie. Eddie's the, I guess, what do you call it? The skeleton, basically, that kind of the representative, the mascot of Iron Maiden, who, by the way, was also the inspiration for, believe it or not, the Poltergeist ghost. If you watch the movie Poltergeist, which probably way before your time, Joe Calley, you've never seen Poltergeist, have you?
I have not, no.
You need to see Poltergeist. It's actually a pretty scary movie.
Okay.
But it's a good scary movie.
You know, Coming up on that time of year, so.
Yeah, you need to watch that, Poltergeist. And it's about a family that lives... They bought a house, and the house they didn't realize was built over an old cemetery. And there's poltergeist, which is basically means like extra beings, you know what I mean, and
yeah.
Ghosts. And things happen in the house, obviously. And then there's a scene where this really big monster skeleton-looking thing like shows up. That's Eddie from Iron Maiden.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, he's the inspiration for that. At least that's what I heard when I was younger. I'm talking over a lot of people's heads right now, but some of you are like, yeah, Maiden, Bruce Dickinson, baby, let's go. And right now, I mean, you got everything right now going on, right?
Yeah.
And some people have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. Some people are like, let's go, baby, iron's up. Look it up. Good morning. Can you tell I'm jacked up? I'm ready. It is a Wednesday that we're treating like a Friday here. On a Buffalo Football Friday. I have no idea if I'm even supposed to tell you like all the sponsors for Buffalo Football Friday. We'll do that on Friday. But I do know that we will have Sean McDermott here and his sponsors will tell you and bring you his radio appearance when he shows up here on the phone line in a little while from now. Sean McDermott scheduled for his normal Friday appearance here on a Wednesday morning on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you. And of course, a lot of eyes, a lot of ears on Matt Milano. His status for tomorrow night's game. So basically yesterday, and it really doesn't matter what was said yesterday. What matters is what's going to be said today by Sean McDermott. But yesterday, just for some background, McDermott did not rule Matt Milano out even for this week practicing today. So we will find out, which is great, great, encouraging news, at least in the moment there, because... It was a pec injury, and that could be very severe, or it could be something that, you know, you could come back from pretty quickly, depending on the severity of it. And considering Matt Milano's had some soft tissue injuries over the last few years, and of course, last year with the bicep, he did have a pec injury a couple years ago, missing some time. Matt Milano's off to a great start. He was playing great in that Jets game, too. He played the whole first half, didn't come out in the second half, and then we find out afterwards he had a pec injury, so they kind of shut him down, and now they're moving on to this week, and we'll see. So that's number one on the injury update front that we'll ask Sean McDermott about. Number two would be, of course, Ed Oliver, which I don't expect him to play. It seems like that's more of a multi-week injury. He did not practice yesterday. Not expecting anything this week, but we'll get more of an official word there. And then, of course, your nickel corner situation. with Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, his backup, and even Jordan Hancock, who could make his NFL debut this week. We'll see if he's active. We'll see if he's available to play. There's two parts to this. I mean, he could be available to play but not active. Health-wise available, but the Bills may look at the numbers and go, where are we putting him? We're just going to make him inactive. So that might depend on what they have with Taron Johnson, what they have with Cam Lewis, two nickel corners now. Jordan Hancock's really been primarily working more at safety, but he can play nickel. And as this team continues to progress on and hopefully not have major injuries, yes, you're going to lose some guys here or there because that's football. They can continue to develop and have guys ready to go who are mid-round picks, young players, guys they've developed over a year or so. And that would include Jordan Hancock in this scenario. The Bills take on the Dolphins tomorrow at Highmark Stadium. In case you haven't heard, it's Thursday Night Football here in Buffalo. Bills, Dolphins tomorrow. And folks, I mean, this is it. This is the last time the hated, and I say that in a very competitive, sportsy sense, okay? The hated Miami Dolphins, from a Buffalo Bills fan standpoint, come to town. And in this stadium, excuse me. This is it. Miami Dolphins, last chance. Last time in this stadium. So, today, after Sean McDermott is done, which hopefully we'll get him in about a few more minutes here, I would like to take your phone calls on Dolphins Bills memories inside this stadium. Maybe a moment, maybe a game, maybe a season, whatever it is. I mean, games, I guess, right? The specific games, but it could be going to the game, what it meant to you, seeing the Dolphins, growing up, knowing what they meant to you. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to have a history lesson. Every year I give a bit of a history lesson on the Miami Dolphins coming to town to take on the Bills and what it means and to why people like me of my generation, my age, grew up as this being the team that we did not like in Buffalo. For many of you, it's the New England Patriots. Totally get it. And for the exact same reason, for many of us growing up in the 1980s, 1970s maybe, if you're a little older than me, it was the Miami Dolphins. So I'll go through that and that history lesson. Because it matters. It matters to Buffalo. It matters to Western New York. It matters to Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Steve Tasker. Go ask them. They'll tell you. This game, this opponent, it matters. And I'm going to say it matters more this year. Because it's the final time. You can't let the Miami Dolphins come to Buffalo and play in this stadium in their last game and win. So that's why it's important tomorrow from that sense. And of course, it's also important from a sense of, folks, the Bills can really start to put some distance between themselves and the rest of the AFC East, obviously Miami first and foremost. But the way this season is shaping up, the way this season looks right now, with what's in front of the Buffalo Bills this week and beyond, my bold prediction, which might not have been so bold, but my bold prediction in any medium that I went on recently, through the offseason, I should say, was the Bills are getting the one seed this year. Because I thought the schedule really set up favorably for them. They're four quote-unquote toughest games. We know that as the season goes on, there are tougher games and there's ebbs and flows of how teams are, right? They're quote-unquote toughest games, toughest opponents at home, all at home, meaning Ravens, they beat them already. Bengals, no Joe Burrow now. Chiefs, they're 0-2. Eagles, at the end of the year. There are tough road games, yes. There's going to be. I think Atlanta's going to be a tough road game, the way they're looking right now. But that's beside the point. The point I'm making is the way the schedule set up initially even, Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles, even without knowing any of the information we have now, it was already going to be set up for the Buffalo Bills to have a really good look at it if they play the way they're supposed to play. And now that you're already 1-0 on the Ravens. And the Chiefs are 0-2. And the Bengals have lost Burrow. And even if you want to go further than that, the Houston Texans, for example, 0-2. I mean, and the Dolphins looking like they're looking, and we're going to talk about that here today. The Patriots, the Jets, right? I mean, take your pick. And then you look at the schedule the Bills have. After Miami, even, we could talk about it, even though, you know, it's one game at a time inside the walls. It's Miami. Then it's the Saints. Then it's the Patriots at home. Then it's the Falcons. Then a bye week. Then the Panthers. Before they get the Chiefs, going back then to the Dolphins and Bucks and Texans and Steelers, which could be a bit of a gauntlet run. Everything is in front of them that they want. It is right there for them. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. We will take a phone call here as we await Sean McDermott. Tim in South Carolina is up first. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Sal. Thanks as always for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it.
I just wanted to call really quick. You asked about, you know, fondest Dolphins memories, and I'm originally from Syracuse, moved down here to South Carolina about 2 years ago, and the last time that I was at a Bills-Dolphins game was actually Josh Allen's rookie year when he just – Him and the guys just absolutely poured it on. I think it was like 42 to like 17 or something like that. And what me and my buddies did was we went to the Syracuse airport and we rented a van, like a passenger van. And like nine of us went up for the game because tickets were like $3 in the upper deck. So of course, you know, cases of beer, we had a DD, don't worry, but no, it was just a great day. And got back to Denny's after the game and realized Josh Allen had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. 42-17. It was the end of Josh's rookie year. He ran for two. He threw 3. And Zay Jones, 6 catches, 93 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The Bills did a really good job. That was against Ryan Tannehill for the Miami Dolphins that day. Now, the Bills obviously didn't make the playoffs that year. That's the one year they didn't make the playoffs in this regime. But that was a great way to end the year. And again, I think it meant something. Tim, I used to make the drive on a Greyhound bus from Syracuse to Buffalo during the Super Bowl years when I was a student at Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to work for the Dome and loved making that trip. I had a quick question for you, Sal. Who was the running back with the dreads? I forgot.
Ricky Williams?
Caught that pass. No, for the Bills. Caught the pass and took it for like ever, like 50-something yards. And then he had one person to beat, like, at the goal line who got completely mowed down by
Chris Ivory?
Who's like, yes. Yeah. Who was the tight end? It's like Logan Thomas or something like that completely cleaned somebody. I don't know. I got to go back and look.
I'll have to look at that, too. Maybe. Logan Thomas was on that team. Yeah, you got it. Chris Ivory was on that team. Remember Chris Ivory had that long catch and run against the Vikings that same year, that rookie year for Josh, right? That was an interesting year. So, actually, it's funny. I was actually thinking about this. It's funny that Tim called and mentioned that year, that rookie year for Josh, because that is, I'm just going to go back and look to make sure I'm right on this. That year, the Bills started 0-2, and yes, because that's Ravens, that's Chargers. They get blown out in Baltimore. Josh's first start is the next week. They lose 31-20. And then, of course, remember the next week they go to Minnesota. It's, by the way, a very, very large underdog, and they win, which is a cautionary tale here. That's the only time in Sean McDermott's tenure with the Bills, they started 0-2. And I wanted to ask Sean about, and I will ask him about starting 0-2 and having a team that is 0-2, like the Miami Dolphins, come to town and what, you know, they're going to be doing to make sure that they can try and salvage the first part of their season here. Because I think you're getting a team that's going to be desperate. You're getting a team that's going to be throwing everything they can at you. And that's the task for the Bills. So tomorrow night, Amazon Prime, Al Michaels. By the way, great job yesterday. I don't know if you heard it. Al Michaels joined Shopin the Bulldog yesterday. He comes on pretty much on a yearly basis now because the Bills play a Thursday night game. And I think even before he was doing Thursday night games, Al was on a couple of times with the guys. And I really enjoyed listening to that. But you can check it out on demand at WGR550.com. Also on YouTube, we're always on YouTube for the morning show and the afternoon show, WGR 550 on YouTube. Bills Dolphins gets it kicked off tomorrow night. Game time, 8:15 p.m., and it should be beautiful, picturesque football weather for a night game in Orchard Park, New York. We'll get Pat Hammer on at 11:30 a.m. today. He will give you a weather update, game day, game night. I'm even peeking ahead now until like the next game at home, which is against the Saints. And that's on, what, Sunday the 28th, for weather purposes. And that might even be great. I love afternoon, Sunday afternoon games in Orchard Park in September. I just think it looks great on TV. It's usually pretty warm. As long as it's not too windy, like that's what can kind of ruin it a little bit. So when the schedule came out and it was all these night games, I'm like, come on, give us afternoon. But look, we had a great night for weather against the Ravens. We have a great night here for weather. It looks like tomorrow night, and Pat Hammer's going to tell us all about it. If you're going to the game, drive in, tailgate, staying afterwards, a tailgate, whatever. Patrick Hammer joins us for his normal weekly radio appearance on Fridays. We'll do it today on a Wednesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And then at 11 a.m. today, before Pat actually, at 11 a.m. today, we're going to have David Fornes. I hope I'm saying his name right, and I apologize. Fornes. Maybe it's Fornes. I'll ask him specifically how to say it, but I found David online because he's been doing some really good stuff covering the Miami Dolphins, and I've been kind of tracking him and his tweets and his reports this week to keep up with the Dolphins. He is a beat reporter for the Sun Sentinel. So we'll have him on at 11 a.m. to talk about the Dolphins. John in South Carolina. What's going on, John?
What's up, Sal? How you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to call and give my memory of the Bills-Dolphins game 2 years ago, night game, Sunday night, came into town, and, you know, they were down late in the game, fourth quarter, starts dumping snow, and Josh Allen just puts on his cape and brings the Bills back for the win late in the game. I think Bass hit a really long field goal to seal that one.
I do. I remember it. It's the story I give, and I've given a few times that during the game, the snowballs were thrown, and referee Bill Vinovich saw me wearing a mic and asked me to announce to the crowd to stop throwing snowballs. I had to explain to him, I'm on radio, sir. I am not the PA announcer for the stadium. Yes, I remember that
game. My memory serves correct. I think Beasley came back for that game, and we were driving around before we got to tailgating, and we saw Beasley out with his family, and we were just shouting out the window, let's go, Beasley, and I asked him if he was playing, and he kind of just gave me a smirk and a nod, and it was a really cool experience to come home for that game.
I love it. I love it. Good for you, man. Yeah, that was 32-29, walk-off field goal in the snow. Snow Angels. I think Stephon Diggs did a snow angel there. Did you see the news? Stephon Diggs, apparently, Cardi B announced she's pregnant with Stephon Diggs. They're together, pregnant, right? That was something that came on today?
Today, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. So, congratulations, Stephon Diggs and Cardi B. But he was involved in the snow angels at the end of the game there. That game, 32-29, very odd score. I don't know if that was, I don't think that's scoreigami. Bills had scoreigami against the Ravens, 41-40. That means the first time that score has ever been achieved at the end of an NFL game. In that game, though, Josh Allen, remember the Bills had to come back late in the fourth quarter. They were down 29-21. They were down 8. Josh scores, and then they have the review on the two-point conversion where he just broke the plane of the goal line before it was knocked out of his hands. Then the Bills get the ball back. They go down the field. They score, and they kick the field goal. Tyler Bass, 25 yards. The Bills win that game. I believe that sent them to the playoffs. How about Dawson Knox in that game? 6 for 98 and a touchdown. There you go. I remember Gabe Davis had a big catch on the drive to get him down the field, too, as Gabe has had in the past for the Bills. Big catches and late drives. Let's go to Kathy in Pennsylvania. Hi, Kathy. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So about memories, you brought back a flood of memories from Miami-Buffalo games. Mm-hmm. But I was at that 1980 game. I was 10 years old. The first time the goalpost came down.
Yeah.
The only reason I got to go to that game is because I was the youngest and none of my brothers wanted to go because we always lost. It was crazy. Some guy stuck his head in our car and ate a beer bottle.
What is going on? Oh my God. It doesn't surprise me though. I mean, yeah, I can imagine. I was a little too young. I was 7. I hadn't gone to any games yet that year, you know, by then. And I could imagine what it was like inside. And a lot of people point to that game, Kathy, as their best memory of a Bills-Dolphins game inside that stadium because of what it meant to beat the Dolphins at that moment, right? That's really what it was. Yeah, there's the mayhem after that's memorable, like tearing down the goalpost, but why did they come down is the reason why the game is memorable, because it's the Miami Dolphins, and they just beaten the Bills 20 freaking straight times.
Exactly. But when I was 13, I got hit in the head with a billy club from a cop swinging back to break up a fight.
At a Dolphins game?
Yeah.
Wow.
There was this guy that sat in our section. He wore a Dolphins color shirt, and he just had on it printed in like 1970s fashion, you know, big block letters. It just said, Muck Fiami. My family still says that.
Okay, I get it. Totally get it. And I've seen those shirts before. Kathy, I hope you're okay, and thank you for sharing that story, but I hope everything was okay with you after that, because, man, that's a memory to say when I was 13 that happened to me. 803-0550, sharing your Dolphins at Bills memories inside Highmark Stadium. Now, most of them would be inside Highmark Stadium unless you want to go all the way back to the rock pile. But that's not what we're talking about. It's Dolphins at Bills for over 50 years here in Orchard Park. And the Bills have had a lot of success recently against Miami. The last time they lost to the Dolphins here at home, 2016. That was Rex Ryan's last game. And if you remember that game, the Dolphins in overtime have a big run on the Bills. And the Bills had 10 guys on the field. And that was it. That kind of sealed Rex Ryan's fate that year. The Bills in that game, by the way, needed to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. And they wound up basically like kicking for a tie, I think it was, at the end, or punting, whatever. I mean, and Rex is like, well, we weren't aware of it. I don't even remember what happened. Either way, much different time period now with the Bills and the Miami Dolphins. We're going to talk about it with the Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott, who's going to join us here next, right now, in fact, on the West Her Hotline.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott joins us on the West Her Hotline right now, a little bit earlier than normal, and that's because the Bills have a Thursday night game against the Miami Dolphins. So, Coach, good to talk to you again, and thanks for getting us in here on a Wednesday. I know the schedule's a little bit screwy this week, obviously, for everybody.
Great to be with you guys as well, and I know it's a short week as well, so we'll do the best we can here, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Let me ask you about the short week, Coach. Last week, or I think it was week one, I'm sorry, in week one I asked you, you know, what's it like preparing for a Sunday night game? Now, I have to imagine game day is probably similar to that answer, but what about a short week? Take us into a short week and how quickly you have to recover, what the message is to the players, the training staff, the coaches, going from Sunday afternoon, getting back off the charter, to today and into tomorrow.
It's kind of what you'd expect. It's kind of hectic from trying to squeeze a lot of work into a small amount of time. You try and plan ahead and accordingly, knowing this when the schedule comes out, you do the best you can, but you want to try and keep the focus squarely on last week, the Jets, and then move forward to this week. So a lot of coaches came in off of the plane and staff as well, and started to work on the new challenge this week, and then we tried to get the players as much rest as we could day to day so that they're as fresh as possible heading into the game tomorrow night.
Is it possible to get your full kind of review of a Sunday game when you play a Thursday? Do you do that in a truncated fashion, or do you just kind of have to move on a little bit differently than you normally would?
Well, it's a little bit different. You want to be able to go through the game the right way. After any game, in this case, we watched the film on the plane ride home, about an hour plane ride, give or take, from New York, from the Jets back to Buffalo, and so you're only able to get in so much of film during that time span, but you're trying to catch the big things, if that makes sense, to make sure that we can get those addressed and move forward in a better way.
And we'll talk about some of those things as you head into tomorrow night's game. Let's get to the injury report. Designations will come out later today for tomorrow night's game. You told us yesterday that it was potential that Matt Milano could practice today. Will he be on the field today, and do you have any update for him for this week?
Unfortunately, he will not be able to make it this week, so he will be out for this weekend's contest.
How about Ed Oliver, Coach?
Same for Ed Oliver. Will not be out there for the game, and we'll see what, for both of those guys, what next week looks like.
Okay, so right now it's just kind of a wait and see on Matt Milano. You don't have any like kind of where you think he might be at after this game or at this time period. It's kind of a wait and see on both these guys.
Yeah, so what I've been told is it's too early until they really see how this thing settles in, if you will,
okay.
or plays itself out in terms of the days following the injury, mm-hmm. As it relates to, I think that'll have a direct impact on how long he's out.
Okay. Let's get to a few of the other guys who were limited this week. Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, obviously two nickel corners play the same position. How are they looking today and for tomorrow?
So they'll be limited and questionable for the game. We'll just have to see how both of them do today and then into the early morning or early hours of tomorrow.
And then one more for you, Shaq Thompson, Coach?
Similar. Yeah, exactly the same. See how he does today. We'll continue to monitor him and his situation.
All right. Now, Jordan Hancock has been a full participant. The rookie could make his NFL debut Thursday night, depending on how things shake out. What have you seen from the rookie throughout training camp? And, of course, he missed some time with the injury, but then bouncing back here the last couple of weeks.
He continues to grow. And, you know, getting him a little bit healthier day to day has helped his situation, being out there more, again, getting the experience. And he certainly had a few plays in preseason where he flashed. So we'll see where that goes.
Sean McDermott here on the West Her Hotline. Coach, let's just take a look at last week a little bit. Sunday, a few days ago, third down defense, 0-for-11 the Jets were. I went back and looked. It's really only the second time in maybe 30 years that the Bills have achieved something like that. A team had 11 opportunities, zero conversions. What was the key for your third down defense on Sunday?
The connection of the rush and the coverage working together. You know, being able to get the quarterback to hold the ball and also get the quarterback affected in the pocket as well. And that combination of the two worked well together.
And Joey Bosa was a big part of that. I from the sidelines, it looks to me, and we can talk to him in locker rooms as well, he's having a lot of fun out there. Do you see that in Joey Bosa, a 10-year veteran, having a lot of fun out there?
Oh, I sure do. It's refreshing to see a veteran that is so dialed into having fun, dialed into the preparation piece as well. And football is important to Joey. And you can see that just by the way he handles himself.
Sean, you have been a part of only a couple teams. I went back and looked as a defensive coordinator, Carolina, and then here in Buffalo that started 0-2, 2018, Josh's rookie year. And then, of course, you guys went to Minnesota and you had that really big win when you were big underdogs. Miami finds themselves in a similar situation here. Take us into the mindset of a team when you're 0-2, what it's like to try and make things right as quickly as possible.
Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, I haven't had a lot of situations like that, fortunately. Overall, I think the competitive mindset is the competitive mindset. When you have, professional athletes, professional coaches, in this case, that you go about your job the same way, and you go out there and try and do the best that you possibly can. So we expect them to be at their best this week and expect, a tough game.
And, of course, they do have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, Tua Tagovailoa. And you mentioned the speed yesterday. What do you see from their offense through two games?
Yeah, uncommon speed on one side of the ball in particular. And you have to defend against it, which makes them hard to defend, makes them explosive. So you've got to be working well all 11 on the field at the same time.
And then, of course, on the defensive side, they've brought a pretty good pass rush against the Bills over the last several years. Anthony Weaver as a defensive coordinator. What do you see from that group?
Oh, you said it. They're driven by their front, which good defenses are typically driven by their front. We'll have our hands full and have to play a complete game in all three phases.
All right, Coach. Well, good luck tomorrow. And, of course, a beautiful weather night. We'll get the final update from Pat Hammer here in about an hour. But, man, it should be another great night to get Buffalo Bills and Bills Mafia out there to support your team on a Thursday night, the final time maybe that the Miami Dolphins will be ever coming to Highmark Stadium. So it should be fun.
Well, it should be. We look forward to having our fans out there, the 12th man, the Bills Mafia, and them being in full effect tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach. Have a great rest of your day, and good luck tomorrow.
You too. Thank you.
All right, you got it. That is Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Yeah, Matt Milano going to be out for this game, so maybe not a surprise to a lot of you. The only thing that's concerning here is him saying they're still waiting to see how everything reacts. The days following an injury, encouraging yesterday that Matt Milano was going to be possibly, potentially, as Sean said, practicing today, but that's not going to happen. So he's going to be out for this game, and then we'll see exactly what things hold for Matt Milano into next week. Same with Ed Oliver. Those are the two guys who will not be on the field. Taron Johnson will be questionable. Shaq Thompson will be questionable. Cam Lewis will be questionable. That's the sound of it from Sean McDermott. Of course, when the official injury designations come out, we'll have that for you, WGR550.com. You never know. Things could change after a practice today, after they see everything going on with everybody. So right now, though, Milano and Oliver out, and we'll see where it goes with the rest of the guys and then see where it goes with them into next week. Jordan Hancock, full participant, couple of days of practice, could make his NFL debut. That might just come down to numbers, what the Bills need, where they need it, and that could be impacted by what happens with Taron Johnson and Cam Lewis. Okay, we'll take a timeout here. We'll catch our breath a little bit, and when we come back, settle in, because I got the yearly history lesson coming up. And you know what? I don't think Joe Kelly's ever heard the history lesson. So I'm going to be Teacher Sal, and I'm going to give you the social studies history lesson between the Dolphins and the Bills, why this matters so much. And it's going to be a really fun one tomorrow night when Miami comes to Buffalo here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Yeah, he's top tier. You know, if it's not with his own.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Arm, it's with his legs. You know, that dude can do literally anything he wants. So definitely different skill set for me. I can't do half of what he does when it comes to running the ball and any of that. And then with how he can just chuck a ball down the field, you know, with how far and the arm strength that he has, you know, he's supreme when it comes to that. So it's going to be fun. Get to see him, get to play him again. And we'll see.
Tua Tagovailoa on Josh Allen. Can't do half the things he does. I mean, he's self-aware and a bit self-deprecating maybe there, but, right? I mean, he can't run like Josh. We know that. Doesn't have the arm strength of Josh. I actually don't think Tua's a bad quarterback. I know. I'm here on radio in Buffalo. Ah, Tua, haha, he stinks. Like, I just think that they don't protect him well, and you have to protect him well because he is not the most mobile guy, number one, and he's the kind of guy that fits. Now, I'm not saying he's just a system quarterback, but he does fit the system that Mike McDaniel would run, and that's not working right now because they don't have the kind of offensive line that they need, and their receivers aren't getting open right away either, and teams have taken away that first read. That's what he is. I think Tua's a fine quarterback. I don't think that necessarily he deserves the kind of money contractually compared to the other quarterbacks he's getting. But that's the game you play when you have one that's good. And if you don't pay him, you don't have one at all. But he's not wrong there in what he says about his own comparison to himself and Josh Allen. 803-0550 is the number to call. It is Miami week. It's Miami week. Means a lot to a lot of people, right? Means a lot to a lot of people going way back a long time ago. Miami week became a thing when I was a kid. Miami week in the 80s. Maybe it was Miami week in the 70s, because I know that Miami was beating the Bills in the 70s all the time. Joe, let me tell you how this started. A little history lesson. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Break out the history books. Do people use history books anymore? Like my son, he's in seventh grade, and I'm like, he might bring home a book once in a while. I'm like, yeah, but like that's kind of weird because the rest of your stuff is online. They do so much online now.
Mm-hmm.
Go online and do your homework. He'll come home and I'll be like, you have homework to do? Yeah. All right. Well, where is it? Well, I got to get on the computer. Was that you too?
No. So my like senior year of high school, that was the first year they started giving Chromebooks to us, or like, you know, the laptops. So I was on the edge of that being normal, but COVID was my senior year of high school, so it ended up being that. But yeah.
That sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
Yeah. So they don't, I mean, there is a textbook at the house though. And I'm like, do you need this textbook? He's like, nah, I don't know. Not right now. And I'm thinking, if that was me and I had my textbook at my house, I better bring it the next day or I'm in trouble. Right? Like, whichever social studies teacher I have in seventh grade, eighth grade, like I'm in trouble if I don't bring that textbook to school the next day. I'm seeing that textbook. He's like, yeah, down the road I might need it, but everything's online now. So I'm going to break out the old textbook because we're going to talk history between Dolphins and Bills here. So basically, you know, Buffalo Joe was a really, really thriving city for much of like the back in the early 1900s, like a very, very popular city for people to live in, an industrial city, because of a lot of reasons, manufacturing, and especially because of Lake Erie and the Erie Canal and how they could ship things. And Buffalo was a thriving city, like a top city in population in America, right? Early 1900s. And in the more middle type of 1900s, it became a really big steel city, and Buffalo's putting out steel a lot. Bethlehem Steel is a really popular place that a lot of people worked. In fact, at one time, Bethlehem Steel was one of the largest employers in the nation for people. People lived here, Lackawanna, right? You drive down there, you know all about Bethlehem Steel. And the point I'm making is, like, during that time period, Buffalo was thriving. It was doing great. But then, basically, like, the interstate system came in, and it kind of mitigated what was needed from shipping. You can get things faster. So Buffalo kind of became a city where, well, you didn't need to settle there anymore, and people kind of bypassed it now because you had the interstate system, so it wasn't like a place like it was before the roads. So it started to lose a little bit of its luster and decline, but they still had the steel. Well, in the 1970s, basically, Bethlehem Steel, because of the price of steel, because of the cost, because of shipping and everything, Bethlehem Steel started to basically shut down plants. And as we know, you know, today it's nothing like it used to be, and it's not even called that anymore. And many, many people in the 1970s, and I use that as an example of one industry in one place, but a lot of industries in Buffalo. We had a firm called Trico here, and people could tell me, well, they still exist and these things, but they were making wiper blades. Like, I remember dads that, you know, worked there and lost their jobs. There were a lot of places like that in Buffalo. And what I'm telling you is, in the 1970s was a tough time in Buffalo. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people left the city. It was really, you know, not nearly the thriving place. And I remember growing up was the 35th largest television market. And now it's in the 50s and 60s. Like, you know, it became a smaller city.
Mm-hmm.
At that same time, Joe, the Dolphins were kicking the Bills' ass every year. They're beating them every single time they played. At the exact same time this was happening to Buffalo, right?
Right.
So what happens in your life is, probably all of us now, when things are going bad in one realm and things are going bad in another, you kind of tie those things together in your brain, right? Oh my God, I can't get anything right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the Dolphins became like this symbol of this frustration and never being able to get it done, and how things were going poorly. It became that symbol for a lot of people in Buffalo. Like, okay, yeah, this sucks. And then maybe we have our football team. No, because that team over there keeps beating us all the time, right? And, you know, the Bills weren't that great in the 70s. They had a couple moments, hot moments, but they became the symbol. And then in 1977, we had the famous blizzard of 77.
Right.
And people died. And it was like this first real famous blizzard that we ever had here, that every night on national TV, Joe, for like a week, people talked about Buffalo, look at this snow. It's terrible. Who would want to live there? Oh, my God, people are dying. And they became the butt of jokes. And all of that frustration. Now it's like you're losing your population. You're losing that people are unemployed. And the blizzard of 77 is people making fun of Buffalo. Like, Buffalo became the butt of jokes because of weather and because of their football team being bad for many years, I'm sure, in some realm as well. But it was just all at once. And you could imagine that frustration building up, right? And how that would be kind of just all encompassing, geared towards this Miami Dolphins team that beat you 20 straight times and won Super Bowls and went undefeated in 1972. And that's where a lot of the frustration came in. And that's why in 1980, when the Bills beat the Dolphins, this goalpost came down. The goalpost came down after week one, dude.
I've seen all those videos. It's amazing, right? Yeah.
It's amazing. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it. But, folks, I'm telling you, I remember being 7 years old, 8 years old, going to a football banquet at Pop Warner, Cheektowaga Little Loop, I played. And we would have old Bills, current Bills at that time, Fred Smirlis, Jim Haslett, Eugene Marv, I mean, Lucius Sanford. These guys would come in, Joe Ferguson. And they'd be like, oh, meet the Buffalo Bills. And people would meet them and be great. And they'd be like, oh, let's ask them questions. And I'm not kidding you, Joe. Like, half the room would be like, when are you guys going to beat the Miami Dolphins? Or how much do you hate the Dolphins? Or why is Don Shula on the competition committee and everything seems to go his way every time there's a close call? It was just, everything was about the Dolphins. That's how much it grew in everybody who was young like me to just think about, oh my God, like, yeah, you got to hate the Dolphins. And that's why the Dolphins are this team for the Bills. And then they hit Dan Marino. And Jim Kelly says, I ain't going to Buffalo. I'm going to the USFL. Same year. Oh my God, they got this incredible quarterback. He's amazing. And our guy doesn't even want to come here. But then it flipped, right? 86, Kelly comes. He starts beating Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Bills get Levy. He starts beating Shula. And the script flips. And it was just, it was delicious. So delicious all the time. And you just reveled in it and enjoyed it. And now we're holding you back from what you want. And I still believe, I think to this day, Levy's the only coach with a winning record over Don Shula throughout his career. And then they played a playoff game here and the Bills beat them in the snow. Yeah, come up here. You don't know snow. We know snow. Then they played a AFC championship game in Miami. Going to Miami, who cares? We'll beat you. Then we're going to take over your damn stadium too. And that's still today, by the way, right?
It is. That holds strong today. Yeah.
And then you had Brian Cox. Comes out of the tunnel, giving Bills fans a double bird. Has a fight with Carwell Gardner, gets thrown out. There's accusations all over the place from both sides. I mean, that's what a rivalry is supposed to be. That's why Miami Week matters here to people like me. Yes, I know the New England Patriots beat the Bills many straight years with Tom Brady, with Bill Belichick. I totally understand why anybody would say, Sal, I don't care. It's all about the Patriots losing. Totally get it. It was also delicious inside that stadium when the Bills had the perfect game against the Patriots for all those reasons. But I will never, ever, ever have any team in my life come over the top and supersede what Miami Week means to Buffalo and the Bills. And tomorrow night is the last time this team is ever coming to this freaking stadium. After all that. And they're a disaster right now. And it's up to the Buffalo Bills tomorrow night to make sure they go home a disaster. Back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll take one phone call here before we get to the top of the hour. Curtis in Niagara Falls. Thanks for waiting, Curtis. What do you got, buddy?
Dax, Sal, you had me wanting to get on the field and hit somebody, man.
A friend of mine texted me and said, I want to run through a wall right now.
Right, right. Well, my original call, I want to talk about my most memorable Miami moment. But you mentioned Don Shula being on a competition committee. 1969, Juice's rookie year. They came here in December, 28-3. The Bills blew them out. Don Shula on the competition committee, it was years before they played in December I was so pissed about that. But my favorite Miami moment in the stadium was, remember when Marino had that streak without being sacked?
I do. I think it was Jeff Wright who got the sack on him.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was close to being a safety because he was down inside the five when he got him. But I remember when sacked him, he raised his finger up in the air like, yeah! Oh, my God. I hate the Dolphins, Sal. I hate the Dolphins.
You are one of these people that that can relate to everything I said earlier. No doubt about it, Curtis. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Yeah, you got it. Thanks. Man. Thanks for the phone call. Have a great rest of your day. We'll take a timeout. If you want to jump on, I will get you on after David Fornes, who is going to be joining us here in just a little while. He covers the Miami Dolphins, and we're going to talk with him about the Dolphins situation. And Fornes, excuse me, I think that's how you say his name. I'll get him on here. And David's going to talk a little bit about the Dolphins and what's to expect from them and where they are in their season right now. We'll do that. And then we'll have Patrick Hammer, but your phone call's right after him. So if you want to hold on, Joe will take your call and you can hold on through David, and then we'll get right to you after that. We'll take a timeout right here, though, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.